Stand by.
Ready with San Quentin.
Okay. Hello,
hello Walter McGraw.
Standing
good. Be with you in a minute.
Okay.
This is Monitor and Walter Kiernan at NBC's Radio Central. Coming up, direct and transcribed during the next hour on Monitor. Lights out at San Quentin. A Monitor report from the Mid-Atlantic. Laughter with Honest Henry Morgan and Roguish Roger Price. And Monitor music from around the country and around the world. All of this in the next 60 minutes. Now, news headlines, Morgan Beatty.
11th hour, General Motors strike negotiations in Detroit. They continue. Religious rioting flares in Buenos Aires. Le Mans, death toll revised downward to 77. President Eisenhower returned to Washington. Now, news in fair detail. Religious rioting flared today in Buenos Aires. Catholic Church supporters clashed with anti-Catholic backers of President Perón. At least four persons were injured in the fighting. The Perón government has clamped a partial news blackout on Argentina, but the Montevideo reports indicate that the fighting continues. Back home, General Motors employees are scheduled to start leaving their jobs in less than an hour. Monitor's correspondent, just outside the negotiating room, has the latest on that story. So, it's Monitor to WWJ Detroit and Carl Cederberg.
From our Monitor listening post on the fifth floor of the General Motors building in Detroit, there is less optimism now that a settlement between GM and the CIO United Auto Workers Union will be announced before midnight. Local issues appear to have snagged a final settlement. We have learned that the union and company are agreed on the general or so-called national issues, but individual plant problems have dragged out the talks. As the minutes tick off before the deadline, it's after 11 p.m. in the East, it is believed the union will delay issuing a strike call if the talks extend beyond the midnight deadline. This much is certain. General Motors and the union have agreed on the general terms of guaranteed wages for the company's 350,000 production workers. That, in itself, is the goal of union president Walter Reuther. We do not know how close the pending GM agreement approximate last week's Ford contract. We do know the union can claim a form of guaranteed pay from the second of the big three automobile manufacturers. How extensive and what percentage of pay, we may know in a matter of minutes. This is Carl Cederberg, now back to Monitor in Radio Central, New York.
President Eisenhower returned to Washington this evening after spending the weekend at his farm in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Ray Shearer, White House correspondent, how does it feel to follow the president around these days?
Well, the trouble, Morgan, is his new little airplane of the president's. It's hard to keep up with. Ike takes off on his little hummingbird, and 30 minutes later, he's landing at Gettysburg or wherever it is. Reporters who are paid to follow the president around can't all hire tiny airplanes. There aren't that many, and it's too expensive. Now, take Friday, for instance. The president was flying up to Penn State University, where his brother Milton is Prexy. He was going to land about 4 o'clock, so most of us wheeled out the family car and started out way ahead of time.
Yeah, I remember that. Ray, wait a minute.
Four ace Washington reporters, you know their names in a minute, started on the trail in the family Ford. They loaded it up with picnic lunches, soda pop and all, but they neglected to stick in a road map. When they got to Chambersburg, they zigged when they should have zagged, wound up in Gettysburg, 80 miles the wrong way, and two of these boys Pulitzer Prize winners. Two other reporters went to the wrong airport at Penn State, missed the president. One correspondent came up on the train, had to transfer to a bus. Took him 7.5 hours. Yesterday, at the commencement, it rained. President Eisenhower spoke outdoors in a drizzle. The other President Eisenhower, the college president, said he wasn't sure he should give degrees to those graduating in meteorology. Anyhow, the rain simplified traveling a little. Too foggy to fly, couldn't even see the mountaintops. The president motored over to his farm at Gettysburg. And tonight it was dark, and so he was driven those 2 hours and 10 minutes into Washington. I don't know what the answer is, Morgan. Maybe we should all take flying lessons or learn to be paratroopers. This is Ray Shearer, now back to Monitor in Radio Central, New York.
I tried to stop you, Ray, to tell the people how tired you were, but you wouldn't let me. Put your earphones on next time, old boy, will you?
By the way, there's one East-West meeting that's receiving very little front-page attention. It will soon take place in the heart of America. For that story, Monitor goes to Davenport, Iowa, and Herb Plambeck.
Diplomacy on the citizen-farmer level will be demonstrated here in Iowa next month. A group of 12 Russian agriculturists will spend 2 weeks in Iowa to see American agriculture in action. the Soviets will visit our world-famed corn hog farms, see processing plants, stop at Iowa State College, study rural services, and enjoy country fried chicken with all the trimmings. At the same time, 12 U.S. farmers and ag researchers will go behind the Iron Curtain to observe collective farms in Russia. The Soviet-Iowa Farm Exchange was proposed earlier this year by Des Moines Register editors. Messrs. Khrushchev, Bulganin, and other common farm leaders hope to gain know-how to bolster sagging Russian food production. President Eisenhower, with American farm leaders and the Iowa hosts, hope the exchange will help achieve better international understanding. To this end, Iowa will have the red carpet out for the red farmers when they visit here. This is Herb Plambeck. Now back to Radio Central.
Thank you, Herb. Something new in international relations. Now, a late bulletin. International News Service reports at least one dead in the religious rioting in Buenos Aires. And a late INS report also says that President Perón has ordered Parliament into special session tomorrow. Now, sports. Walter Kiernan.
Taking a look at the Monitor baseball scoreboard, we find that the American League pennant race tightened up considerable-ish, or with considerability. This afternoon, first-place New York Yankees drooped a doubleheader to the Cleveland Indians 10-2 and 7-3. Meanwhile, the second-place Chicago White Sox were taking two games from the Washington Senators, 1-0, 8-4. So the White Sox now trail the Yankees by only 2.5 games, and the third-place Indians are only 3.5 games off the pace. Elsewhere in the American League this afternoon, Baltimore and Kansas City split, with the Orioles taking the first game 7-2, the Athletics winning the nightcap 3-0. Boston and Detroit rained out. In the National League, the Dodgers maintained a very comfortable 10.5 game lead over Chicago by splitting a doubleheader with the Cubs this afternoon. Chicago took the first one 9-5. The Dodgers came back to take the second 6-2. New York and St. Louis also split, with the Giants taking the opener 8-3 and the Cards winning the second in 13 innings 6-5. There was another split between Milwaukee and Pittsburgh. Pirates won the first 5-3. Braves took the nightcap 6-5. Philadelphia beat Cincinnati 12-8. Second game of that scheduled doubleheader was rained out. And speaking of rain, what can you tell us about the weather in general, Miss Monitor?
No weather.
Next.
There's no weather. Everything's fine.
Next, our Monitor scientific note. You have only one chance in 6 trillion of being hit by a falling meteor during the next 30 minutes.
You're wondering about Miss Monitor, Walter. She was so fascinated by the ball score, she just went to check them up. She'll have weather a little later on.
You heard about that unexpected rain, I think.
Well, it's Monitor time, which is exactly 8 minutes after the hour, a good time for music. You caught the muse. Now Monitor takes you to Birdland in New York and the Monitor music of Al Hibbler. What have you got down there, Fred Collins?
John Malachi, ladies and gentlemen. Ernie Farrell on bass. Charles Recip, drums. Dee, I don't get this bit at all because I'm just as hung as you are. And I'm sorry to hang out like this, too.
Well,
what's happened? I just got cut off. The whole thing. I'm getting France again. No, they're back to Monitor now. They just switched off the news. They're back to the Monitor show up at Radio Central. We're going to go on shortly. I hope.
You're on now.
This is a man in his shorts. Fred, you're on.
You're on.
Oh, we're on.
Yes, isn't it interesting?
I didn't
Millions
hear it at all.
Of potential viewers, our listeners.
But here, my goodness, is the great singing star Al Hibbler and his smash record from Birdland, Unchained Melody.
Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch a long, lonely time. Time goes by so slowly, and I can do so much for you. Still mine, I need your love. I need your love. God, speed your love to me. Lonely rivers flow to the sea, to the sea, to the open arms of the sea. Lonely rivers sigh, wait for me, wait for me. I'll be coming home, wait for me. Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch a long, long time. Time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much. Are you still mine? I need your love. I need your love. God, speed your love to
fine. Thank you, Al Hibbler. Wonderful to have that hit melody of yours, Unchained Melody. Say, Fred Collins.
Yes, Ben.
We won't have time to stay with you any longer. We're just getting a sampling of what's going on at Birdland before we hop over to our next visit. By the way, is it Kenton who's at Birdland next week?
That's true.
The great Stan.
The great Stanley, indeed.
Well, there'll be a large order of Kenton music from Birdland when we have monitor visits next week at this time, or approximately, right?
And all the fans here at Birdland will be listening to monitor, too. And thank you, Ben, for Al Hibbler.
Thank you. So Ben Grauer back at NBC's Radio Central, back from Birdland and the songs of Al Hibbler. Speaking of Birdland, let's see, speaking of Birdland. Yes, there at the end of our great massive communicator's bench, here's a bird that just landed, our television monitor, Henry Morgan.
Thank you, Ben. Good evening, anybody. Here's Morgan with a fantastic new public service. We figure that a lot of people are out of town on weekends and miss their favorite TV programs, so I'm here to bring you up to date on what you didn't see. Well, first today, on your behalf, I watched the first hour of Monitor, this program. It was on both radio and TV, you know. It was sort of interesting. I liked it. It started with somebody introducing Mr. Weaver, I think his name was, the president of NBC. And Mr. Weaver, is it, introduced to Mr. Fleming. And Mr. Fleming introduced Garraway. And after a while, they introduced Clifton Fadiman. And during the hour it was on TV, everybody introduced something. One man introduced Hermosa Beach. One introduced Idlewild Airport. One introduced a quintet from Chicago. It's a new thing in radio. They now use five famous people to say what one lonesome announcer used to say years ago. Sometime during the show, they took us up to Harvard to meet the president. He has a very tiny mouth, in case you missed the TV part. Teeny-weeny little mouth. And he had a spiritual message. He said that churches were being built by leaps and bounds, but he didn't say whether anybody was going to them. Bob and Ray were on a couple of times, but the funniest part of the show, I think, was when they switched to Chicago for the Art Van Dam Quintet. The quintet started playing some very high-class music, oh, about eight bars, and all of a sudden, a very sexy woman's voice said, "The temperature in Aberdeen, Scotland, is 51, cloudy. Madrid, 68, cloudy." And when, she went all around the world, so that when she finished, the quintet was finished, and we came back to New York. Now, on TV, you didn't see the girl, incidentally, you just heard her. So in case you missed the TV show, you didn't miss anything. She wasn't there. Now, I'm what? Oh, I see. I've just been handed a bulletin. Your services no longer are required for the... Oh, well, actually, the job done in general on Monitor was simply sensational, but it's not my business to say so. Anyway, after a while, I watched some stuff you wouldn't care about in the late afternoon. Then at 7, a new program started on Network B. It's called Pride of the Family and stars Fay Wray and Paul Hartman. It's a family program, mother, father, the two kids. You've seen it somewhere. I'll say this for it. It's not controversial. This program couldn't upset anybody. It's probably true that many families live the way this one does, but the reason they buy TV sets is to get away from the way they live. There isn't a great deal of entertainment in discussing what's for lunch, even with Fay Wray. If you saw this, you might have noticed this coincidence. They were having chicken noodle soup for lunch with some sandwiches. They mentioned it about 5 times. And what does that say? I must say I'm Henry Morgan? Oh, that's what the other note said. That the first 3 minutes I was talking to Limbo, California. Well, welcome to our new network. This is Monitor, a review of the past. Well, I was telling you about this Pride of the Family show where for 20 minutes they talked about what they were having for lunch. The coincidence was the sponsor is Campbell's Soup, which was quite exciting. They also had a dog in it. But if I told you what the dog was doing, according to the story, you wouldn't believe me. At 7:30 tonight, you missed Mr. Peepers. Now, the plot was that he needed... Listen, if I had to identify myself, I'll explain what I think I'm doing. This is a review of what you missed on television this afternoon in case you were wealthy and went out of town for a while. It's a service, sort of. Well, the Mr. Peepers show that you missed, the plot was... Incidentally, all times mentioned are Eastern Daylight Time. The plot, well, you couldn't tell in the room I'm in because there are 11 clocks on the wall for people who get all nervous about what time is it in Istanbul, for instance. We have a clock for that. At the tone, it'll be 6:17 in Istanbul. Boom! Eastern Halva time. You wind up your own Turk. It says, this Peepers plot is very complex. Now, he needed a raise, and the school board wouldn't give it to him, but they changed their minds at 8:05 Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Now, this is usually... it's a fairly good show, usually, but sometimes they get so deep into a kind of winsomeness that they're in danger of choking to death on cuteness. For example, on tonight's show, or maybe it's yesterday where you are, Mr. Cox would throw away a paper cup at intervals, and you'd hear a glass crash. See, it still has got me upset. It's a kind of fourth-dimensional whimsy, you know, that's very nerve-wracking. Of course, while I was watching Mr. Peepers, I was listening to the Giants on radio trying to throw away a baseball game. They'd beat St. Louis in the first game, which you probably knew, but it was too much for their skinny blood. They were winning the second game, but they didn't really want to. And when the New York Giants don't want to win, I tell you, they have a kind of team spirit that you just can't get past. It took them till 9 o'clock Eastern time to lose, but they lost. La Palme was pitching, by the way, and the Giants couldn't hit him with their fists. Well, I tuned back into Monitor, and the sexy girl was giving the temperature in Copenhagen. And I have just been giving walking papers. So, Morgan will be on the same corner, theoretically, in front of... again, I think next Saturday, roughly at about this time. Saturday. Thank you. Good night.
Sunday. Hmm?
Well, originally it was supposed to be both. I think Saturday and Sunday, Ben.
Oh.
Why don't you come both nights, Henry?
I'd love to.
We'd love to have you.
That's not an invitation, Henry.
Nothing in writing.
Henry Morgan monitors television for you each week. Coming up, Monitor Music, Monitor Stars, Monitor News. Right now, this is Monitor Going Places and Doing Things. Take one.
Hit the opera, it's too highbrow, but there's one number I can dig right now. Just like shifting without a clutch, I ride the boogie with the Carmen touch. You ain't living if you have missed the long hair music with the crew cut twist. Don't love often and don't love much, but love that boogie with the Carmen touch. It rips up floors and knocks down walls.
They tell me it's the reason that Niagara falls.
It's even made Gibraltar rock.
It ain't the kind of thing a mockingbird can mock.
The day it hit in old Bombay,
a Hindu couldn't charm a snake away.
They say in French, in Greek and Dutch,
the boogie wasn't boogie till it got the Carmen touch.
Thank you.
General Motors and CIO negotiators are exactly 40 minutes from strike deadline. For a 25-second checkup on this to WWJ Detroit and Carl Sederberg.
We are still here on the fifth floor corridor of the General Motors building, where down the hall, the negotiators for the UAW and the General Motors Corporation continue their negotiations. We understand that local issues appear to have snagged the final settlement. However, we have learned that the union and company are agreed on the general or so-called national issues, but individual plant problems have dragged out the talks. And it is believed the union will delay issuing a strike call if the talks extend beyond the midnight deadline. This is Carl Sederberg, now back to Monitor in Radio Central, New York.
Back at Monitor, the new NBC radio service, and now a Monitor historical fact. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address was 725 Court Street.
On the move again to the Blue Note in Chicago, this time in the Monitor music of Sorta Finnegan.
Righto. Here we are in Chicago, and we're right here in the Blue Note. And I'd like to correct an address error I made on an earlier pickup. We're here at Madison and Clark. I moved a whole building the last time. And we're all set now with the brilliant music of Sauter and Finnegan. And here is our first selection tonight before an enchanted audience. And it's the wonderful marching song from Battle Cry, Honey Babe, a tremendous arrangement. Take it. There you are. Honey Babe, done for you by the Sauter Finnegan Orchestra. Bill Finnegan led that one. Eddie Sauter steps up in front of the band now, and Bill Finnegan stands beside me while I ask him a question. What are you going to do for us next, and why?
Well, we have a piece of violence by Eddie. It's called The Loop about Chicago. The Loop from Chicago, that is.
That makes a great deal of sense, Bill, because that's right where we're broadcasting from, is the Loop in Chicago. This is a tremendous tone poem type of thing with excitement and some noise. Huh?
Much excitement, like the Loop.
Suppose you cue Eddie to cue the band and let's hear it.
All right.
All right, Ed.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom Mercine at the Blue Note in Chicago. That was the music of the Sauter Finnegan Orchestra, broadcast through the courtesy of the American Federation of Musicians, James C. Petrillo, President.
Here's a golfing tip from Monitor's Spunky Sports Department. If you are topping your drives, try turning the ball upside down.
The time, 29 minutes after the hour. In Manila, 12:30 a.m. in Shanghai, 2:30 a.m. in Sydney, Paris, 4:30 a.m. In the next half hour, Monitor goes to San Quentin, Washington, D.C., Hollywood, California, Hamburg, Germany. Stand by as we monitor the world for you, direct and transcribed.
This is Monitor, NBC's new radio service.